You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, I'm Jackie.
I'm Jen Fessler.
And we are two Jersey Jays.
Yes, we certainly are.
We certainly are. And we have got an episode for you today. And I have got to ask you something, Jennifer Fessler. So, we talked about Ozempic a few weeks ago, right? And somebody, and I'm not going to say any names, somebody implied that you took the easy way out and that Ozempic users should just get on a fucking treadmill. And then this same person last week or the week before was on Instagram showing off the results of their tummy tuck. So yes. I'm wondering your thoughts on that.
All right. No, I definitely am in tune to that. I know all about what went down there. So what are my thoughts on that? So this person got a lot of flack for saying, you know, taking Ozempic is ridiculous behavior, just get on a treadmill, and then getting online and talking about and showing pictures of her tummy tuck. And I want to say that her response was, I tried everything. Before I got a tummy tuck, I worked out, I worked my ass off, I did everything humanly possible to lose the baby weight, and I still had loose skin. And so that was what my tummy tuck was about. It was about the fact that, you know, because I had gone through every possible method to get a tight stomach, it was okay. It's okay now that I resorted to plastic surgery, which I think is really interesting. And obviously, well, this episode is, we're going to talk about plastic surgery, but what is that about? Like this feeling that you have to deserve it, right? That you have to exhaust all other means possible before you decide to have plastic surgery. I don't buy into that, not for a second.
Right. Well, listen, I do not think that I am not a proponent of Ozempic for losing just a little bit of weight, but I don't think it's the easy way out, actually. I think that you deal with a lot of unknowns. A lot of people get very sick from it. You have to go through many months of horrendous nausea.
But listen, we've gone down this
road. Okay, so what I'm saying is, though, I very strongly feel that you do not have to earn your plastic surgery.
Right. That's sort of like what it came down to for me. And this person is not the only person who feels that way, right? A lot of people feel like, you know, how dare you get a tummy tuck without diet and exercise first? Why don't you try that first? Most people, I think, probably do. But how about, you know, getting breast implants? You can't magically make your boobs bigger. Is it okay to want bigger boobs? It's because it seems that it's fine to want smaller ones, right? If your back hurts and you get plastic surgery because you need it, quote unquote. That seems to be way more widely acceptable than going the other way. So there's just so much stigma around.
Yeah, and that's why so many people deny And in the housewives world, you get a lot of people who deny having had things done when you can look at them and see that they've had things done, which is a little ridiculous. But I am very open about my plastic surgery. I've actually had nothing on my face, but I've had plenty on my body.
I've had both.
What have you had?
What have I had? So I had a tummy tuck, and I've had liposuction. When I was young, like early 20s, I had my boobs done. And it's funny because I just wanted a lift. I had, they're called tubular breasts. And
what does that mean?
So I always used to say it looked like you had a tube sock and you put mine, and it looked like you put a tennis ball in it.
That's and what it your boobs look like?
To my, yes.
And they're and really, that's
such
really
a
like
a source of embarrassment.
Wow.
Especially as a younger woman, taking off my clothes was just, for me, really, really mortifying. And so when I went in the first time to get my boobs done, that was the concern. And the doctor at the time said, you don't want all those scars. You're a young woman. Just let me put in small implants and it will it'll lift them. What it did do was give me larger tubular breasts.
Oh my God.
So that was not my, definitely not my last boob job. And I got another one. I don't know. I want to say after I got married and like pretty soon after, after I'd had my two kids, I had them early on, and because I just wanted a lift, they were still, to me, they were just so embarrassing. And so I got another one and the doctor that did them, it didn't go well. And it looked like somebody had chewed bubble gum and put it on my nipples were just so ridiculous looking. So I had a third one.
Wow.
I know. I had a third one that I was very, very pleased with. I felt great. And about 3 years ago, I decided I didn't want implants anymore. And now they're gone.
So you had four.
So I've had, if you can imagine this, I've gone under four times.
For your boobs.
For my boobs. Yes.
It's a lot of investment in your boobs.
A lot of investment.
And what else?
In my boobs.
So tummy tuck, you had your face redone.
And I had my face. I had a lower facelift. So my neck. And when I went in for that, I have been just increasingly insecure about my nose. As you get older, you guys may or may not know this, but you know, things change on your face. And my nose was just, it was just sort of like East and West situation going on. And it was, I felt like maybe partially due to being on TV, but increasingly insecure because it was just looking wider and wider. Mm-hmm. So I had my neck done. And then at the same time, I had a nose job. And I'm thrilled with the outcome of both.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a mommy makeover. And the reasons behind that were very loaded. So a mommy makeover is the tummy tuck with the breast implants. And I was anorexic from the time I was 26 years old until 2 years ago. And after I had children, so I carried multiples twice. I had something called a diastasis. So my abdominal muscles never came back together. And because I was kind of emaciated looking, my stomach stuck out. And so it was only like skin and bones and then like a little tummy sticking out. And people would ask me all the time if I was pregnant. And it would drive me crazy. Also, because I had a mental illness surrounding my weight, I could not handle the questions. And I decided that I needed a tummy tuck, even though I weighed like 90 pounds soaking wet. I got a tummy tuck, and also I lost all the breast tissue that I had because of my anorexia. So I had an A cup, and I already didn't feel womanly because I haven't gotten my period in like 30 years. So I already was struggling with that, and I had really low estrogen, and now I had no breasts either. And I just really wanted to feel like a woman. So I got a complete mommy makeover.
The tummy tuck was for me by and far the most painful.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The drain. Really and bad.
I think that there are two types, right? The one where
you just tighten the skin.
You just tighten the skin. And then there's the other one where they actually pull the muscles back. And yeah. Wow. I mean, I don't know that I could do that again.
I mean, the results were fantastic, though. So, but then curiously, so those were my only plastic surgeries. And then when I recovered from anorexia and I gained a fair amount of weight back, a lot of my breast tissue came back. So suddenly these like C implants that I had turned into double Ds. And so I had just a few months ago, I had a breast reduction. I had those implants taken out. I had my breast tissue like cleaned out and lifted. And then I had little teeny tiny implants put in because I was saggy.
You and I both are so open to talking about it.
Yeah, because why not?
Well, like I've never had a lot of shame around it. I remember on, I don't know, I was trying to be funny. Maybe on my 40th birthday, I didn't even know what Instagram, it was like all Facebook back then, 15 yeah. years ago. And I remember like, everybody had left me a, you know, whatever, very sweet message in the end, you know, thank you guys so much for all the birthday wishes. And I also want to thank Dr. X and Dr. Y. And like, I kind of like named the plastic surgeries just in an effort to be, I guess, funny, self-deprecating. And I remember just getting so, my friends were just blown away that I would even say it out loud. But I've never had a lot of shame around any of this. But I know that it, you know, the shame piece, it permeates our culture. And there are so few women I find that just want to fess up to what they've had. And I don't even, what is that about?
I don't know. I know so many women who won't admit they had a nose job.
Why?
So I have no idea. I don't know. Is there shame around it? I guess maybe there's
like,
shame
like
in not being
to earn,
born perfect.
Are you supposed to earn your plastic surgery?
No, absolutely not. There's no way to earn your plastic surgery. I don't know what that's about. That's someone battling their own demons.
I don't know. I don't feel, I never did feel embarrassed by, you know, doing the things that make me feel good about myself.
Yes.
And listen, the only thing about it is that I do at times feel like it's enough, Jen, like with the vanity. It's enough with, you know, looking in the mirror and figuring out like, what is the next thing? And I know plastic surgery can become addictive, but I don't think it has been for me. I've certainly had my fair share of it, but I don't, you know, at some point you want to maybe stop going under the knife if it's unnecessary and unless it's something that's really plaguing you.
I do feel that people who get a ton of plastic surgery and keep getting it over and over again, I think that there's something underlying that more than just vanity. I think that there's, I don't want to say self-doubt. I mean, at what point are you good enough? You know,
I have a friend recently who said to me, and God, the O word is becoming so overused on our podcast, but because of Ozempic and losing muscle and not working out, my skin is really, really loose. My legs, it just sort of hangs. And yes, I have started to incorporate squats, but I don't think it's going to help really with the loose skin. And I was just talking to her, I was in Florida. I was like, maybe I'll get, you know, a body lift. She's like, Jen, it's enough already. You're 55 years old.
Well, you know, there was just a story in the news about Justine Bateman. Do you remember her? She was on Family Ties. And oh God, I remember when she was younger, she was so gorgeous. And like, she does not want to do anything to herself. And I think that's amazing. But I will admit, you look at the pictures of her and it's a little bit jarring because everyone in that world, everyone in the TV world, they do their thing. Their skin is tight. You know, they look a certain way.
And the thing is, though, no matter what I do, maybe Kim Kardashian's of the world have enough money to look still like they are 20 and probably prettier than they were then. There's nothing that I can do that is going to have me, you know, looking whatever, 20s, 30s. I'm thrilled if someone said I was 49, I'm over the moon. But at some point, I think there is an acceptance, right? That I can't get back there. I can't get back to, nor would I want to, what I looked like as such a young person. Justine Bateman, that's the natural, that's what she looks like. And she
feels good about it. Yeah. And I think that that's so great because I don't know that I would feel that good in, you know, I imagine that the whole world was telling her like, oh God, you know, you really need to do something, but she's a beautiful woman.
It's the same thing. What about going gray? I mean, I have a lot of friends now that are embracing gray hair.
Yeah. You know, my mom went gray. She used to color her hair and then probably in her late 50s, early 60s, she stopped and she refused to do it anymore. And it was very hard for me because suddenly my mom looked like an old lady. And I had a really hard time with that. And I begged her to get her hair colored and she just wouldn't do it anymore. I mean, now she just looks how she looks. But
maybe it thinks about,
she loves it.
Do you think it's about, like, this is getting a little deep, but like mortality?
Yes.
You're looking,
it's about
like
mortality, insecurity. You mean why people would want to have gray hair?
No. I mean, looking at your mom or anyone going gray, it's somehow it's like march towards death.
Yes. No, for me,
morbid, but I
for me, I was like, why are you letting yourself be old so soon? I didn't want her to do that. I wanted a young mom.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to be young. Although, again, I don't really.
Well, if she was getting older, it would mean that I was getting older and I don't know if I didn't feel ready for it yet.
How do you embrace that? You know, I think it's tricky. Like, God bless Justine Bateman.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not there, but I know that there has to be a fine line between feeling good and feeling attractive and feeling sexy and still feeling like I am a mature woman and I don't have to compete with, you know, my daughter. But I think that line is so difficult, right? It gets blurred. Like, when to stop? When is enough enough?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of insecurities for some women that go into, I know there were for me, a lot of insecurities about my body that went into why I chose to have plastic surgery. But the reasons why I get filler and stuff are not so much insecurities as keeping up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't do a lot of filler. I do Botox.
But you know, like, ageism is very real.
It is.
Aging women have a very hard time in this society, especially with social media. It's terrible. The comments I get, do you get comments?
I get comments. You look like a man. What's wrong with your ears? Actually, it's funny because I was like, you know what? And as you get older, your ears get bigger.
Yes.
Your ears
and your nose keep growing.
See? And I'm like, should I have had my ears pinned like when I went in from? And again, then there's the voice, like, enough, Jen. And if I get really insecure about it and it starts to plague me, but right now I just think it's funny. Like, it doesn't bother me when people make those comments.
You know what? It bothers me. It bothers me personally. I don't know, it gets inside my head, but also, like, it bothers me that there's this platform for people to just, you know, tear you to shreds.
You know, like, keeping up also with other housewives, right? And I'm a friend of a housewife, and this is just my second year. You know way more about this than I do. But people ask me all the time if that's sort of what influenced my decision to have plastic surgery. And it's not, honestly, it's really not. But for instance, I was watching Ultimate Girls Trip, which is the best, by the way.
I need to start watching.
But anyway, whatever. But I'm watching these women, these legacy women. So they're all women of about our age. You're a little younger, but. And they are all running around in bathing suits and bikinis. And their bodies are so gorgeous. And my body does not look like that. And they're even older than me, some of them. And they just have these ridiculously beautiful bodies. And it got in my head while watching it. And I am trying to be able to say to myself, if it's going to make me really feel better and feel good, and if it's affecting my life in this negative way, but to try to say to myself, when is enough enough? And I think probably at this point, enough's enough for me.
Well, I have a question for you. Do you think that celebrities owe it to the public to admit to what they've done?
Mm-mm. I don't think anybody owes it to anybody to admit to what they've done. I think that I don't understand why not.
What about housewives? Because we are reality show stars. We're supposed to be sharing our reality.
I don't know. I feel like I don't understand why anyone would lie about it or deny it. I don't get the shame in it, but I don't think anybody owes anything to anybody in terms of, you know, admitting what they've done or having things done or not having things done.
Yeah, I understand that. But I also feel at the same time that you're holding yourself out as, I don't know, if you're going to be a public person, then, you know, you're giving this like idea to people that this stuff comes naturally to you.
Do you think anyone thinks that anymore? Do you think anyone looks at...
I think young girls do.
You think they look at the Kardashians and think,
I think my 13-year-old daughter does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely do. I think she looks at all these women and says, wow, they're so beautiful. What's wrong with me? And she's gorgeous. But, you know, I think that she sees her own imperfections. Well, I don't see any imperfections on her, but she sees her own, you know, features that may not look like theirs and says, God, I can't wait to like and change it.
There are filters now. And
I know. So it's all, you know what? There are so many questions I've always wanted to ask a plastic surgeon that I never had the opportunity to do.
I've asked my plastic surgeons lots of questions.
Really?
There's always more.
I have so many. So today we are having our first guest. I'm very excited about that. We're going to have on world-renowned plastic surgeon.
Yes.
His name is Dr. Matthew Shulman.
You know him.
I do know him. He's never done any work on me, but I've known him for a very long time and his reputation is stellar. And he's got a lot of fans, but I've got a million questions for him.
Me too.
Hi, Dr. Shulman.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for being here. We
are so excited.
We're really excited. Yeah, we got a lot of questions. So I remember you were known for your butt lifts. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And I'm still known for them.
So are people still getting those butt lifts? I thought that went out. I thought they were getting them reversed now.
No, I mean, people are still getting it, but the trend is definitely a little different. So you hear all this thing in the media about how butt lifts are out and nobody's getting them. That's not true. What's happening is people are just getting them in a different way. So they're still doing it, but they're not getting that big, exaggerated, overdone result. So they're going for a little bit more natural, a little bit more athletic, but they're still doing it.
So for someone like me who has no ass, what does my friend says? Say I have a back with a crack. Hmm. So with that, so you can, what kind of a butt lift? If let's say someone, I'm thinking I'm not going to get any more plastic surgery. We just spoke about this, but just for shits and giggles, what do you do with something like that? If I don't want a large butt, can you lift the ass?
So in terms of the butt, there's sort of two things you can do. One is you can lift it, which would physically be like removing some skin and pulling it up. And that's something that's pretty commonly done for people that lose weight. And things
okay,
are just
I'll see you next week. What time? Do you have time for next week?
Or whenever you want. Just let me know.
2 o'clock on Tuesday.
But the other thing is really adding volume. So when we say Brazilian butt lift, which means taking fat out of one place and putting it into your butt, we're not really lifting it. We're just giving the illusion of a lift. So in that sense, you would need volume. So if someone like you doesn't have any of their own fat to donate to themselves, then that procedure is not going to work. Some people still will do some implants. You still can do butt implants. You know, they're good for people that don't have fat, but not always the greatest result. Or some people will do some injections. So the same stuff people are putting in their face, you can put in your butt and it works pretty well. You just need a lot of it and it doesn't last forever.
Now that everybody wants a bigger ass, maybe not a big Brazilian, I don't know, but it's constantly changing. How do you keep up with that?
You know, body images and what we look at as being like attractive changes like fashion. So You kind of have to keep up with trends. So, you know, as a plastic surgeon, I have to stay in touch with what people are looking for. I have to keep up with, you know, the magazines and the newspapers and reality TV and social media. And that's important. So I know what people want and also be able to predict what the trends are going to be in the future. And we have to be able to adapt and change.
Do people come in with pictures of celebrities and say, make me look like her?
Yeah. I mean, and I actually encourage people to bring in wish picks because it gives me an idea of what they want. Because, you know, you may come to me and say, you know, describe with words what you're looking for. And that may mean something to you, but maybe we're using different words. But when you show me a picture, it's like, ah, now I know what you want. The interesting thing is in the past, people always brought celebrities in. But now with social media, people are bringing in just, you know, unknown Insta-famous
influencers, right?
So, yeah, or even just pictures they're seeing online. So they're bringing those pictures in. And I don't know who a lot of these people are, but it doesn't really matter. They're just looking, you know, that's just what's in there. You know, those are just images that they're seeing every day.
Who do people most often ask to look like? There's certain nose that people want or breasts that people want.
You know, it's really changed. I mean, historically, you know, when people wanted a butt, they would bring in Kim Kardashian. You know, that was kind of like the classic, what everyone brought in. And, you know, for breast, you know, Jennifer Aniston was big for a while, but it really, you know, like I said, it's less about, you know, I'm not seeing those same celebrities anymore because I'm just seeing more Instagram people.
What are people requesting now? What's your most popular procedure?
So I'm really a body guy. So my specialty is below the neck. So I do a lot of breasts, tummies, butts, liposuction. So I'm still doing a ton of mommy makeovers. So I'm getting people that come in that have had, you know, multiple children and they want to be rejuvenated and lifted and tightened up. So mommy makeovers are still always popular. Butts, again, are always popular, but we're going for a more athletic, a slimmer, a little bit more natural look. And the hot thing that I'm seeing now is cellulite treatment. And cellulite is something that everybody has. You know, 90% of women have cellulite. And historically, there's never been a good solution for it. And there's actually a new device on the market that I'm really, really happy with that allows me to target those specific bands that cause those dimples. And in the past, treatments have really failed. So we've always said there's no good treatment for cellulite. But I kind of have a good treatment for it now. So I think that's something that's really popular and it's a lot less invasive than it's been in the past. So, you know, that's kind of a trend that I'm seeing. And I think
Road trip. I mean.
Nobody likes getting sick. You know your body and you know it's happening. You wake up with a sore throat and low-grade fever. Ugh.
So what are your choices? Get sicker and miss work? Then hope to see a doctor this week or head to an urgent care, wait 2 hours and sit in a room full of sick people?
Nope, not me. I have a smarter option, my medical emergency kit.
When you get your own medical emergency kit, you just match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription in your kit. No waiting to see the doctor, you get well faster. This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home.
It includes doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, all kinds of infections, including UTIs, and many more. Plus a doctor's guide so you'll know exactly which med to take and how.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. You can order yours online in minutes and your kit will be rushed to your door.
And for Jersey J's listeners, we've got a special offer for you. Get 15% off at twc.health/jersey and use promo code Jersey. That's promo code Jersey at twc.health/jersey.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
What are your patients in terms of age? What is the spread?
I mean, is there an age limit?
I mean, there's no age limit. Obviously, when you're having an elective cosmetic procedure, we want to make sure that you're old enough to understand what you're having done. But then there's also the physical things. Like if you're having something done to your body, you want to make sure that your body's developed enough where it's the right time to do it. So things like nose jobs tend to be something that, you know, girls are getting and boys are getting when they're like 16, 17, but other things like breast implants or liposuction, tummy tucks, I think people are going to be more in their 20s before they get a procedure like that done.
Yeah. Do you ever turn anyone away? Like, do you ever feel like they don't, like, would you turn someone away because you don't think that it would enhance them or like maybe they're getting too much?
Yeah. I mean, I turn people away all the time. I mean, I I probably will turn away about 25% of the people that come to see me for a consultation.
No way. Why? What are the reasons?
Well, I think it's important. I think a responsible plastic surgeon needs to learn how to say no. And there may be a bunch of reasons. One, maybe what you're asking for is just not possible. So I have to try to, you know, I want happy patients. And if I think that you're asking for something that I can't deliver, then I'm not going to be the one to try. The other thing may be that maybe what they're seeing, maybe what the patient is seeing is wrong with them, isn't really wrong with them. And that's, we get into this whole discussion about body dysmorphia. I mean, it's a real thing. People look in the mirror and they think that their nose is huge, but their nose really isn't huge. And no matter what you do, they're still going to see a huge nose. And that's called body dysmorphia. It's a real psychiatric condition. And we try to figure out which patients have that because, one, we know that surgery will not correct what they're seeing. And two, they're going to be unhappy.
So do you play therapist in those instances? Like, do you have to tell them you're not going to be happy no matter what because what you're seeing is not real? Or do you just like tell them no and send them away?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we kind of say that sometimes we're a psychiatrist with a knife. You know, so I think it's important to have an honest discussion. So even patients who I operate on, I will tell them, listen, I can remove that extra skin. It's going to look so much better. But you've been unhappy with the way your stomach has looked for 20 years. So even when it looks great, in your mind, you're still going to think it looks bad because that's just your thing. It's your thing that bothers you. And most people will say, yeah, I get it. I you're right. I understand it. So those are discussions that we always have because it's a lot more goes into plastic surgery than just what happens, you know, within the walls of my operating room.
It's interesting. When I went for my facelift, I had a lower facelift and I went in with the intention of having my entire face lifted.
Yeah.
My doctor said, you don't need the upper part lifted. It's just you don't need your eyes done. There was all of this. I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, let me really do it. But him saying that to me made me respect him and trust him so much more.
Yeah, know? I think it's great.
It's great because it would have been way more expensive, obviously, to have more done.
Do you think that Instagram filters have played a part in younger people wanting more plastic surgery?
Yeah, Instagram filters. And also, if we think back to, you know, when Snapchat was really popular, the Snapchat filters kind of started it all. So there was actually something that, you know, I kind of came up with a term called Snapchat dysmorphia. And that kind of got a lot of play in the press. And that was something that I saw early on with Snapchat filters where, you know, people were changing their eyes and their lips and you know, smoothing their skin. So it absolutely 100% is, you know, it's, I'm in a weird position because obviously I'm a plastic surgeon. This is my business. This is my job. It's how I feed my family. But I have a daughter. I have a teenage daughter. So I'm aware of all these things. And I think it's important that people are happy with their appearance and have self-confidence and be comfortable in their own skin. But I also understand that society kind of pushes people to the other extreme. So
how do you explain that to your daughter? I'm so curious as a plastic surgeon, like when she's a teenage daughter. So she's definitely getting bombarded with these images. Does she say to you, daddy, my turn, like my daddy is a plastic surgeon. So help.
I mean, luckily she's been exposed to it for her whole life. So, you know, when she was little and would take my phone and scroll through the photo rolls, it would be like family, 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 patient, family, patient, operating room, patient, family. So she's kind of been desensitized a little bit to it. But I mean, there may become a point where, you know, she comes up to me and says, I'd like to change this about myself. And I think as long as she understands that that will change her appearance, but it's not going to change her self-worth, then I think that that's a distinction people need to make.
Yeah, agreed.
Can we ask you about some celebrities and what they might have had done?
Sure.
Okay, so look, can we just start with Khloe Kardashian? Because she has lately looked like an entirely different person. Is that just Instagram filters or has she completely changed her appearance?
You know, there are certain people like the Kardashians in particular. Are we going to put a disclaimer so that Chris doesn't sue me? No, I think there's certain people that are very savvy about filters and lighting and photo editing and things. So when you see pictures of celebrities, sometimes it's not always surgical. Sometimes it's just photo editing. I think you combine that with constant fluctuations in weight, which will really change someone's appearance, combined with having, you know, unlimited wealth where you can do anything you want to yourself. It becomes really muddled figuring out what certain people have had. But I think that people definitely, you combine, you know, increase in weight with decrease in weight, and you kind of do that rapidly with rapid fluctuations, plus a lot of fillers and non-surgical treatments can start to distort things a little bit.
Nobody likes getting sick. You know your body and you know it's happening. You wake up with a sore throat and low-grade fever. Ugh.
So what are your choices? Get sicker and miss work? Then hope to see a doctor this week or head to an urgent care? Wait 2 hours and sit in a room full of sick people?
Nope, not me. I have a smarter option, my medical emergency kit.
When you get your own medical emergency kit, you just match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription in your kit. No waiting to see the doctor. You get well faster. This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home.
It includes doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, all kinds of infections, including UTIs, and many more. Plus a doctor's guide so you'll know exactly which med to take and how.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. You can order yours online in minutes and your kit will be rushed to your door.
And for Jersey J's listeners, we've got a special offer for you. Get 15% off at twc.health/jersey and use promo code Jersey. That's promo code Jersey at twc.health/jersey.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Is it hard when you do these procedures on someone's body because of the fluctuations in weight? So for instance, if you're doing a tummy tuck and this person comes to you and is heavier, do you want that person to lose weight first just because of if you do the tummy tuck and then they gain weight and it's going to affect your results?
Yeah. So I personally think that everybody should be at whatever their normal weight is before they do anything to their body. And it doesn't mean their weight has to be the textbook perfect weight. It just means whatever your normal weight is. If you're normally sitting at, you know, whatever, 150 pounds, then you should have surgery when you're 150, not when you're 170. So I never want to do surgeries on people when they're kind of at their peak, because that naturally is when people like want to run in to see me when they're, you know, had the kind of a rough couple months and they're up 20 pounds. You want to get down to your normal weight. And that's because, like you said, if I do the surgery and then your weight goes down or goes up, the results can change.
That's so true for the face too, right?
For anywhere. I mean, everything changes with weight and you can't always predict how it's going to change.
So you can't tell anything because people look totally different. Like last week, my mother came over to light Hanukkah candles and I showed her what you can do. I turned her into like a redhead with long hair, with makeup on. She had never seen any of this shit before. She was like, what did you do to me? How can you do that stuff?
You know what? I hesitate to use filters. I really don't use them on my social media only because the jig is up. Like if you're on TV, people are going to find out that you don't look airbrushed, right? Like,
well, not everyone's on TV, but
even with that, though, you run into people, your true, what you look like is coming out.
Do people ask you to reverse stuff ever?
Yeah. I mean, it's so sometimes it's a reversal and sometimes it's just kind of downsizing. So specifically with the Brazilian butt lift, you know, this whole trend of BBL reversals, they're not really reversals because we're not trying to get them back to what they were before surgery. We're just trying to make them a little smaller. So it's more like a reduction. Same thing with breasts. You know, breast implants are very different now than they were 10 years ago. Like we're putting in smaller implants than we were back then. So women are coming in and they want to downsize. So yeah. I guess it's sort of a reversal, but it's not really a reversal because they don't want to go back to what they look like before implants. They just want to be a little bit smaller than they are now.
What happens if you get a mommy makeover and then you have another baby? Does that like tummy tuck go out the window? Do you have to get it all done again?
Not necessarily. So obviously if someone comes in for a tummy tuck, I ask them, are you done having kids? And you know, they'll say yes, but I get it. Things happen. So if someone's planning on having more children, I tell them, wait, let's just, when you think you're done, then we'll put you back together. But if someone does get pregnant after a tummy tuck, it may loosen things up so it doesn't look as good, but it probably won't go back to the way it was before the surgery because, you know.
I had a tummy tuck and then since I've been up and down, my weight has been up and down. I always like to say like I broke through the tummy tuck. So my stomach that was so tight after the tummy tuck, it's definitely loosened up and the muscles have loosened up as well. I mean, you can blame that on a lot of things besides brownies and not doing sit-ups. But I do notice that with time, it's certainly not what it was.
Well, I think that, you know, with anything you do, you know, having a good lifestyle and, you know, proper diet and exercise, you have to maintain the results, but also body still ages. So I tell people plastic surgery doesn't stop the clock. It just turns it back. So if I do a facelift on you and you look 10 or 15 years younger, it doesn't mean you're not going to age. It just means that you're always going to be about 10 or 15 years younger. Same thing with breast work and tummy work. Things just get looser and crinklier and saggier over time. So it's still happening.
I mean, is time really worse to women than it is to men? I mean, you look at somebody like George Clooney and they say men get better with age. And I feel like society says that women fall apart. Like, is that true? Medically?
Yeah. I mean, there's a double standard. I mean, and you know, as a man, I'm okay with it, I guess, because, you know, then when I age, I'll have wrinkles and I'll look more distinguished and I'll look more, you know, more worldly. But when women get those same things, they're judged. So it's an unfair double standard, but it's true. You know, that's why men don't often get facelifts. You can do it. And if a man gets a facelift, you have to be really careful because you don't want to over tighten them because then you can feminize their appearance and they can look weird. So whenever I do like male plastic surgery, even male tummy tucks, because I do male tummy tucks, you know, men that have lost weight, and I don't pull them as tight or try to snatch their waist like I do for women. I'm trying to get them to look kind of straight and boxy because that's a masculine look. But if I did that result on you, you would come back and be unhappy. And you would say,
do you find that if a man wants a tummy tuck, is he more like secretive and shameful about it than a woman?
Yes, but I think it's changing. I think that men still represent only a small portion of plastic surgery patients, about 15 to 20%. But I think they're becoming a little bit more open. You know, I think now, you know, everybody's taking weight loss medications. And so
Has that impacted everything?
Well, I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's interesting because when I first started doing plastic surgery, I was doing a ton of body contouring after weight loss. And that's because I trained at Mount Sinai where, you know, bariatric surgery had its birth. So I was dealing with people that lost 100 pounds, 200 pounds after gastric bypass and gastric sleeves and all sorts of really invasive bariatric surgery. And that started to die down because it's a very invasive surgery. But now you're starting to see that weight loss pick up again because everybody, I mean, everybody's taking the medication. So we're seeing a lot of people come in and they've lost weight. They've lost weight rapidly. So, you know, 40, 50 pounds over 3-4 months is pretty quick, but that's kind of typical. And so they're coming in and they need the skin removed. So we're seeing a really big uptick in body contouring after weight loss procedures.
Dr. Shulman, with that, because I'm on semaglutide and I've lost, a little over 20 pounds, but my skin is, it's a whole different ball game now. And my legs specifically, the skin just hangs, right? And, but I have heard that a thigh lift is really, not only really difficult, but the scars are horrendous. Is there a way to fix the legs, the knees?
It's hard because, you know, when you're dealing with legs, you're dealing with gravity. So you can never pull the skin up as tight as you can pull in the mirror. So it's hard because everything's fighting that. And so legs are hard and you raise a good point. And, you know, I can remove skin from anywhere on your body. I can get you tight and, you know, nothing hanging, but the trade-off is scars. So we're trying to do procedures where we can do it in a way where the scars are hidden. So there are thigh lifts.
How do you do that?
Well, you
could do that now?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, when you're dealing with a lot of extra skin, sometimes the trade-off is you need more scars. But thigh lifts can be done with just the incision in the crease of the groin.
Really?
I really try not to do that thigh lift where the scar goes down the inside of the leg. Now, someone may need it, but they may understand that, yeah, I'd rather leave you with a little bit of extra skin and have you be able to wear shorts than feel like even if you have no extra skin and your thighs are really tight, you have those scars and you're not going to ever want to show those scars.
You're killing me, Dr. Shulman, because I said literally in this episode before you came on that I'm trying to reconcile myself to the fact that I'm 55 and because I have all this loose skin, I'm just going to live with it. And now I can't get off this podcast fast enough to call your office.
Well, here's a question that we started with, which is, you know, Jen was recently kind of shamed for using Ozempic by somebody who told her to get on a fucking treadmill. And then the same person went out and had a tummy tuck. And so the person justified their tummy tuck by saying that she did everything she could to get to try to fix it herself before she got the tummy tuck. So I guess our question is, do in an ideal world, would somebody have to earn their plastic surgery by trying everything else first? Or is it okay to just do what makes you feel good?
I think it's okay to just do it. However, there's going to be a caveat. The caveat is that you really should have a healthy lifestyle. So there are people that exercise 6 days a week, eat really well, and they're still heavy. And I think that's okay. I think that's a person who, yes, I can do liposuction. Let me do liposuction, help you get off the fat that you can't get off. Let me get that skin off that you can't get off through diet and exercise. But if there's somebody that just doesn't do anything and just kind of sits on their couch and, you know, is eating and not doing anything, and then they have this extra fat, I don't think that's a good idea because things that I do are contouring procedures. They're not weight loss procedures.
They won't get the result, or that they'll and then they'll break through the result. Or do you think it's not okay? Because we're talking about, you have to sort of like earn your right to plastic surgery. So no,
I don't think it's that. I don't think people have to earn their right. I think if people want to do it, they should do it. I think it's more like you said first that, you know, I'm trying to give results that I know are going to last, right, and are going to can be done safely. And if someone has a unhealthy lifestyle, they're unlikely to get a great result, and they're unlikely to get a result that's going to last.
And that's a very different thing. I think that's so interesting, because mm-hmm. what you're saying is that it's not that you're saying to people, listen, you haven't tried everything yet, so I'm not going. If somebody comes to you with, like, I had tubular breasts as a kid, like, there's nothing I could have done about it, right? I couldn't have changed the shape of my breasts. But if somebody comes to you and, you know, wants to get liposuction, and it's not that you're saying you have to try to lose weight first. You're more saying that I'm afraid that your result won't be what you want, especially if you're going to continue with your unhealthy lifestyle.
Yeah. And I, you know, I look at this, when I'm evaluating a person, I'm looking at them as I'm not being judgy. You know, it's not my job to judge you. It's my job to figure out, is what you're asking for possible? Can I do it in a safe way and give you the results that you want? So for example, so if you come in and you want liposuction, you're not really exercising, I may tell you, why don't you try to exercise, lose some weight so that your body gets rid of the fat that it can get rid of naturally. And then I can concentrate on those areas that don't go away. And I think that's a good way to do it from a surgical perspective. I'm not doing it to like tell someone stop being lazy, go exercise. It's really just about, you know, I'm looking at how to get them the best result. Because as you alluded to, if you lose weight quickly, your skin doesn't recover very well. So the skin just kind of gets loose. So if I do liposuction on somebody, they're losing that weight in the matter of just a few hours. So if they have a lot of fat, that skin can end up being a little bit loose after. But if they go and exercise and they take 3, 4, 5, 6 months to lose half that weight, their skin has enough time to tighten up so that when I do the liposuction, they'll get a much better result and their skin's going to look better. So there's ways to go about it to give the best result. And sometimes the answer is lose some weight on your own. But again, it's not to judge them, it's really to help them get a better result.
Why do you think there is so much judgment around, you know, people doing plastic surgery? And there's so much shame around it. I mean, Jackie and I were talking about this at the top of the show, but I don't feel shame around having that.
Mine either.
Neither does Jackie. We don't lie about it. We're both very upfront and honest, but there is so much of that. What do you think that's about?
I think a lot of it is jealousy. I think a lot of it is just, you know, some of the people that judge you are people that would do the same thing if they had the means. And I think that that's part of it. I don't think it's as bad as it used to be. I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I think people were very closeted about plastic surgery. So I think it's much better now. And I think it's because a lot of it is generational. I think that, you know, younger generations are much more open and willing to admit to having things done, you know, partly because of social media. But again, I think a lot of it is jealousy you know, a lot of people who criticize would be in my office tomorrow if they could.
Among plastic surgeons, do they talk about the housewives world as being like crazy full of plastic surgery? Is that just so like omnipresent for us because we're in that world? Like, is that a known thing? Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think a lot of it is probably, you're obviously getting it. You're going to be biased about it because you're seeing a lot of you're obviously seeing the press and the media that may be focused about negative things around the housewives. But I think as a plastic surgery community, we don't really sit around and say like, you know, what people had done or who's had bad work
done
and things like that.
Yeah, you're busy. Okay, wait, an Ozempic question. I have heard that Ozempic has been complicating things for plastic surgeons because your stomach doesn't fully empty, right? And so when you do anesthesia, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, and I was just talking about this yesterday with my anesthesiologist because about a year and a half ago, when people were first starting to take Ozempic, but no one really knew too much about it, you know, there were some patients where, you know, as you know, you have to be NPO, means don't eat anything for about 8 hours before surgery. And that's to make your stomach empty so that during surgery and during the anesthesia, you don't throw up and potentially breathe it in and aspirate and have complications. So there were some patients who after the anesthesia would throw up, and there would definitely be gastric contents. There would be stuff in the stomach. And we were like, this is so weird. Like, I know they didn't eat. They're compliant patients. And after the fact, in retrospect, we're like, that's Ozempic because it delays the gastric emptying. And now it may take 2 days for your stomach to empty.
Yeah. So what do you do?
Well, now we tell our patients that they need to stop the medication for 2 weeks before surgery. to allow the gastric emptying to kind of get to normal. And in people that have been on it for an extended period of time, we may even say 4 weeks before surgery, because it may take that long for your stomach to kind of catch up.
Wow, as opposed to one night, as opposed to 8 hours, 4 weeks, as opposed to 8 hours?
Well, holy not 4 weeks. So it may take 4 weeks for your stomach to kind of start emptying normal again.
But if you're
on Ozempic, the food that you ate, you know, yesterday morning is still in there.
I had recently had a colonoscopy, and I had to stop taking, I'm on semaglutide, and I want to say a week before I had to stop taking it. And that was for a colonoscopy. That was just for getting, you know, put under.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think a week probably isn't even long enough. You know, I think it's got to be about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Wow. Do you ever get people who are scared to stop and just don't come back?
No, because these are all people that have lost the weight. So, yeah. You know, they're going to have the surgery no matter what. So, you know, they have to stop Ozempic and they have to stop smoking. So, you know, those are two difficult things for a lot of people.
Oh, right.
Yep.
How does, you know, when I was a kid, and I think we're all in the same like kind of age group, but when I was a kid, there was a woman named Jocelyn Wildenstein, and she was called the Catwoman. How does one become like, how do you get so much? Is that so much plastic surgery? I don't even know what I'm asking. Like, how the fuck do you end up looking like Jocelyn Wildenstein?
I mean, I think that it's unfortunate, because I think it's probably a combination of, you know, again, I don't know her. I don't know anything about her psychiatric background, but there has to be some degree of psychiatric disease in there somewhere. And then you combine that with doctors who need to learn how to say no. And I think that sometimes, you know, we can't, you know, as a plastic surgeon, I can't cure people's, you know, psychiatric issues, but I can be the final point where I say, no, I'm not going to be the one to do the surgery. Unfortunately, there's greedy people out there, and there are people, you know, I'm in New York City. When I tell a patient, if I say no to you, I know you're going to go down the street and you'll find someone that'll say yes. But in my honest opinion, you shouldn't do the surgery. And hopefully they don't. But a lot of them do the surgery. And the worst thing about it is sometimes I even see those patients come back and they did what I told them not to do with another doctor. And now they're back to me and they want me to try to fix it. And it becomes very difficult.
Nobody likes getting sick. You know your body and you know it's happening. You wake up with a sore throat and low-grade fever. Ugh.
So what are your choices? Get sicker and miss work? Then hope to see a doctor this week, or head to an urgent care, wait 2 hours and sit in a room full of sick people?
Nope, not me. I have a smarter option, my medical emergency kit.
When you get your own medical emergency kit, you just match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription in your kit. No waiting to see the doctor, you get well faster. This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home.
It includes doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, all kinds of infections, including UTIs, and many more. Plus a doctor's guide so you'll know exactly which med to take and how.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. You can order yours online in minutes and your kit will be rushed to your door.
And for Jersey J's listeners, we've got a special offer for you. Get 15% off at twc.health/jersey and use promo code Jersey. That's promo code Jersey at twc.health/jersey.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
As a plastic surgeon, it can't just be a science. I feel like it has to be also an art, right? Yeah. I mean, I think of it that way anyway. I mean, I doubt you've had many, but are there surgeries that you do where you can't sort of like control the fact that something happened or didn't come out right? Or, you know, what do you do with that?
So there's definitely an artistic component. So I think that all plastic surgeons have to have some sort of artistic ability, or at least have like that ability to conceptualize. Like, you remember like in school when you had to do those tests where it was like the cube and it was opened up on paper and you had to like pick the choice of what it looked like when all the paper was folded. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I blocked it. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. So those are the type of things that as a plastic surgeon, we have to think about, because, you know, we have to see how things are going to end up three-dimensionally. But the toughest part is it's not molding clay. It's the human body, and everyone's skin acts differently. Everyone heals differently. Some patients are going to be compliant. Some patients aren't going to listen to a word I say and just do everything I tell them not to do. And then they can end up with a bad result. So I think the key is to obviously not do so much where you can get yourself into trouble, and also always have a plan for, listen, I'd like to think I'm pretty good, but I still have to do revision surgeries on my patients, and they're usually small. There's always going to be some degree of asymmetry. And I tell my patients, you know, your left side and your right side is always going to be a little different. You're going to notice it and I'm going to notice it, but other people on the beach aren't. But if they do.
It's also a degree of pain in the assness, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And
everybody wants perfection. And, you know, no matter what I tell them that I can't make you perfect, and they say, okay, no, I understand that. And then they come back in 6 months and they say, but it's not perfect. It's like, had this discussion. So
better you than me, my friend.
Make things better. And so there's always the option for opportunity for like small procedures and stuff to kind of make the results better. And unfortunately there are some situations where, you know, you have to tell the patient, you look great. I know you don't look as good as you think you want to look, but this is as good as it's going to get. And you know, you're going to have to accept this. And most people do, unless they have some of those little bit of dysmorphia that I didn't pick up on.
Yeah. Well, I, for one, am very grateful for doctors like you who will tell people no, because I do feel like I really kind of like plastic surgery, and I would hope that someone would turn me away if I come knocking for things that I don't need.
I feel like such an idiot, because again, at the top of this podcast, I talked about how my friend in Florida said, it's enough, Jen, because my legs are just, they just look so old and saggy. And now you said something about the groin, and I'm going to hang right now, and I'm calling it.
Come see me. And as you know, I already said, I have no problem saying no to people. So maybe I'll... Maybe I say no to you.
I'll come with her so I can see you in person. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This was great. Very interesting. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
See you. All right. I'll see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Did you like him? I mean, how do you not like him?
I know.
He's adorable.
He's great.
And honest and like cool and trustworthy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard great things. And but I always knew that he was like a butt lift guy.
Really?
Yeah. Everything. But yeah,
it's funny, because do you go, when you pick a plastic surgeon, do you look for one that is specializing in exactly what you want done? Because I know that like a lot of plastic surgeons will say that they can do the entire body and the face.
I I don't know. I guess so. I mean, you wouldn't want a jack of all trades, but I have a funny butt story. So you were called back with a crack, right? So I used to be called low crack jack. I have a really low crack. Is that TMI? I think that's TMI. Anyway, so I have like a really flat and like I almost don't really care because like there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm not about, I actually like to run. I'm a runner. But I don't enjoy doing like lunges or anything like that. And the amount of lunges that I would have to do to have an ass is just unfathomable. So I've always just accepted that I have a flat ass, whatever. So anyway, so I at one point did ask about what I could do non-surgically to have some volume in my ass. And I was told that I could have injections and that that's what the Kardashians do. And they have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of injections in their ass. So I was like, all right, let's inject my ass. So I had probably like 8 huge vials on one side of my ass and 6 huge vials on the other side. And it did absolutely nothing.
What?
It did nothing.
How much did it cost you?
A lot of money.
That's a bummer. So you have had other plastic surgery. You had ass surgery.
It's not plastic surgery. No, that's non-surgical. It's like ass filler.
And it did nothing.
But it's not filler. It's supposed to increase the... And it's not the doctor's fault. The doctor is fantastic. It's supposed to like stimulate the collagen, I guess. I don't know. It hurts.
Dr. Shulman wouldn't have gotten that wrong. Sorry.
No, it's not. She didn't get it wrong. It just... I don't know if my ass just ate it. And like was like, fuck you, Jackie. We're not giving you an ass, no matter what.
I would have been pissed.
I don't know. There was nothing I could do. I think that if you get those ass fillers, I think you just need like tons and tons and tons of them.
I mean, I never wanted my ass filled ever, but now I just want it lifted. And I'm really pissed about this whole episode because of the top of it. I was like, I'm done. And now Dr. Shulman, and I'm like,
I know.
Wait a second.
Ben wants to get that shit done. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's more shit I want to get done, but Evan doesn't like when I get too much. Evan doesn't like it. Yes, I haven't gotten anything.
I don't even talk to Jeff about it. I just sign up. Well,
really?
I mean, it's always good.
Plastic surgery. I mean, tattoos, I don't tell Evan. I just come home with a new tattoo.
The truth is, I tell Jeff. I need him to pick me up from the doctor's office afterwards.
Yeah, that's true.
But definitely not probably not at the point of consultation. After I've sort of made my mind up, because he'll always say no. Not no as in you can't do this.
No, because he thinks you look beautiful.
No. Because he thinks it's just like you're aging and it's stupid and it's so much money. And like, why are you so obsessed with your physical?
Yeah. Well, can I tell you what I don't want?
Please.
Yesterday, I was sitting at my kid's basketball game and I felt my lower lip getting swollen. And I woke up this morning and it's so goddamn swollen. Look at this. I do not want any more lip filler because my lip looks absolutely ridiculous.
Jeff gets that like, I don't know, once or twice a year.
Oh, my God.
He's sleeping, he wakes up and I die laughing.
Why? His face looks awful. My lip is so goddamn big.
He's like, and one of it is just huge. It's the greatest morning.
I don't know. I took a Benadryl.
When that happened.
I took a Benadryl last
night.
Yours
is pretty.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Yours looks like right
don't
after.
Don't tell me that. I'll go get more. No. See, bad. I think that you absolutely do not need to earn your plastic surgery. Get whatever makes you feel good. But I also think that at a certain point, you kind of have to accept what God gave you.
I don't know. I'm telling you, my whole opinion about that changed over the last hour. I don't know what to tell you. I thought I was done.
Well.
Oh, well.
You never have to make that decision.
Yeah.
You just see what life brings.
Yes.
I think you're beautiful. I think you're good. Oh, Jen.
I don't give a shit what you think. I'm calling Dr. Shulman.
All right, you guys. Until next time.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. If one of your New Year's resolutions is to get plastic surgery, just know you don't need to earn it first.
Love that. Yeah. Also, by the way, I wish for all of our listeners and for us just to feel good. Feel good about yourselves. We're trying to feel good about ourselves. I'm trying. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I'm going to start meditating. Cool. Yeah.
Really?
I heard that makes you feel good.
I
see some inner peace.
So many times.
I need some inner peace. I've never tried.
Inner peace.
All the peace. Things. All the peace. Pieces of me. All right. Love you guys. Bye. Yeah.
right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.